Well, good morning, everyone. I am extremely honored to be given the opportunity to speak here at Dewey Avenue this morning. I feel like I should start off with an apology. My voice is a little bit higher than normal, so hopefully you can bear with me and we can still get through the message fine. But I am tremendously honored to be given the opportunity to speak here this morning. You know, a couple months ago during the holiday season, my wife and I got the opportunity to go and visit her family, my in-laws. And when we were up there, we were at Duffy. It's about an hour from here. And Brother Greg Yost, he was talking about the goals for Duffy for the year 2026. And he set the goal that that congregation, every week, they were going to be given a memory verse. And as a congregation, they were going to work together to see how well they could enhance their ability to recall Scripture. Whenever the time arises, whenever they need to recall the memory verses, they had the ability to do so. And I love the idea. I was all in. I was like a group of Christians working together for a common goal, which is to enhance their understanding of God's Word. And I just kept thinking about that as I was getting ready to speak this morning. I was like, how can I tie that in to the lesson this morning? And what can I use that for? And I realize that I'm an extremely busy guy. Like many of you, I have many things that take up a majority of my time. I constantly find myself worrying about my wife. Is she happy? Am I taking care of her? Am I being a good husband to her? Then I think about my family. Am I being a good son? Am I being a good brother? Am I being a good uncle? I constantly am checking in on the status of them and my abilities. Then I think about my job. For those of you that don't know, I'm a teacher. And I constantly worry, am I a good teacher? Am I actually teaching my students what they need to know so that they have the skills to achieve in life? And then I think about less important things. I think about the house. I think about the cars. Am I taking care of them? I'm checking on the status of so many things. And I'm ashamed to admit to you, the most important thing that should be on that list, my relationship with God, it constantly falls a little bit lower than I care to admit. And that's when I realized, I know what we're going to talk about this morning. I titled our lesson, A Status Check on Our Faith. I appreciate the reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know, you yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? You know, as Christians, we sometimes fall into two camps. We fall into the camp of worrying that we don't have the abilities to perform for God and for the kingdom and for the glory of Him, or we think that we have to take everything on ourselves. You know, God doesn't ask for perfection from any one of us. He asks for progress. He asks for us to constantly take steps to grow closer to Him. And this morning, we're going to look at a couple examples in the Bible that show us of characters in the Bible, true men that tried to take that step to grow closer to God. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 3, in Exodus chapter 3, we learn about a very prominent figure in the Bible, and that's Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, we read about Moses, and he's currently in Midian. And while in Midian, the reason for that is he had to flee Egypt because he was guilty of assaulting and killing another Egyptian because he was assaulting a Hebrew. So currently, we have Moses. He's tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, and he's taking care of the sheep. And we read about God comes to talk to Moses in the fiery burning bush. And we pick up in Exodus chapter 3 and verses 7 and 8, it reads, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing of milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. So we read here that Moses is being called by God. Moses is being called because God believes that he is the man for the job. But Moses, he doesn't know if God has the right guy. He's a little confused. God, are you sure? I mean, who am I? We read in verse 11, he says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses is convinced that God has the wrong man. God, I don't think it's me that you're meaning. You must mean another sheep herder. Let me go and get them. I'm not right for the task. And then we read later in verse 13, he says, well, even if I do go, God, how do I know that they're going to listen to me? Why would they listen to Moses? And God says, you tell them that I am sent you. You tell them I sent you. And even after all of this, after God continuously encourages Moses, Moses tries one more time. In chapter 4, we read, he says, I'm not an eloquent speaker. In chapter 4, verse 10, then Moses goes to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not an eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Moses tries one more time. God, I am not good enough for this. Surely there's got to be somebody else that's more suited for the task. But God wasn't asking for a perfect person. God was asking for somebody that was willing to take a step, that was willing to grow their relationship with God, to be an example to the Israelite people, and to be a conduit to go and talk to the Pharaoh. You know, we read here, we see Moses, he's doubting his abilities, but later we read, actually, in Exodus chapter 18, we read the same man, Moses, but we read of a completely different task, a completely different problem that Moses is dealing with. In Exodus chapter 18, Moses no longer is doubting his abilities. He was successful in being that representative of God, and now the Israelite people are out of Egypt. And we read that Jethro comes back into the picture. Jethro comes to visit Moses and the Israelite people that have now flown from Egypt, but we read of a different problem. In Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 17, and so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw that all that he did for the people, he said, what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me and I judge between one and another and I make known the statutes of God and his laws. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you do is not good. Jethro wasn't telling Moses, you're not being a good example, you're not being a good leader. He's telling Moses, you're trying to take on too much. You're going to wear yourself out because you're trying to take on every small thing that the Israelite people are dealing with. We see a completely different side of Moses. He's not doubting his abilities now. He's actually being a detriment to himself and to others because he doesn't believe that he can ask anyone for help. And we actually read that later in the chapter that Jethro, he tells Moses, there are able-bodied men more than capable of helping you with this burden. You just simply have to train them up in the statutes of the law, and they can assist you with these minor issues, and you can still be that leader and handle the more important issues, the more intense issues, if you will. So we read here that Moses, he's on two different spectrums throughout his life. At one point, he's doubting his abilities, and then at another point, he thinks he has to take it all on himself. You know, and this entire process, at no point did God look at Moses and says, I need you to be perfect in all ways. I need you to be the example and have no flaws. I think many times we ourselves think that we either, it's all or nothing. We have to be perfect or we can't do it. At no point does God ask you to be perfect. God asks you to make progress, to take steps to grow in your relationship with Him and to enhance your abilities for the glory of God and to expand His kingdom. Well, let's look at one more example in the Bible. Let's look at Gideon. In Judges chapter 6, we read about a man called Gideon, and the Israelite people are currently being persecuted by the Midianites. In Judges chapter 6, verse 15, it states, so he said to him, Gideon, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. So we have a different biblical character here. Not Moses is the only example we have, but we also have Gideon. Gideon now, he is told by God, hey, I need you. You can help me. You can be a leader for the Israelites. But Gideon, he doubts. Are you sure that you mean me, God? I mean, I come from the tribe of Manasseh. My family isn't a prominent family of Manasseh. And not only that, my family's not prominent, but I'm not even the oldest son of my family. Are you sure that you mean me? So he reaches out to God and he asks God for a sign. He says, God, if I'm supposed to be this leader that you expect of me, can you give me a sign? If I lay this fleece on the ground, can you make this fleece of wool wet, but the ground around it dry? And God does exactly what Gideon asks. When he goes out the next morning, Gideon picks up that fleece of wool, and when he wrings it out, it fills an entire bowl of water. But that sign wasn't good enough for Gideon. He still doubted whether or not he could take that step for God, for that relationship to grow closer to God. So he asked for one more sign. He said, God, don't be mad at me, but can you give me one more sign, and then I'll know that I'm your man. And God does it. He decides to flip it. Instead of the fleece being wet, this time the fleece is going to be dry, but the ground around it is going to be wet. And we read in the chapter that Gideon, he sees this sign, and then he knows. He's sold. I am able to do this. And we read about Gideon and his valiant 300, and they take on this massive army. Many of us are familiar with the story and the fact that Gideon and 300 valiant warriors take on this army. But I think many times we don't realize how great of an army this is. Later in chapter 7, we read how big the army is that Gideon took on. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seashores and multitude. We read here of a tremendously large army. And what seems to be the impossible, Gideon is able to achieve because he has faith in God and he's willing to take that step to serve. God wasn't asking for perfection. He was asking for progress. Well, Connor, I appreciate the history lesson. I appreciate you telling me a little bit more about Moses and Gideon. But what does this have to do with me? At the beginning of the lesson, you said that this was a status check on my faith. You just gave me some examples in the Bible. What does this have to do with me? Well, have you ever found yourself doubting your abilities, doubting whether or not you can be of service to God? Have you ever found yourself on the other side of the spectrum where you think that you have to take it on all yourself? You know, I myself, I'm a teetotaler. And if you don't know what that means, I've been told that a teetotaler is somebody that they are all in. When they set their mind on something, it is the sole focus they have. It's either mission success or mission failure. It's one or the other. And just to show you, just one minor example in my life to show you how much of a teetotaler I am, I think there's no better example of when I was playing my first ever t-ball game. Now remember, I'm a teetotaler. It's either mission success or mission failure. And I was convinced that it's about time to let the world know that I'm the next Babe Ruth. And I'm going to let them know this t-ball game starts the career of a great baseball player. Now, for some reason, I said I was Babe Ruth, but I wasn't even batting in this story. I was playing in the infield, and it was one of the first plays, and a little boy goes up to the tee, and he hits the ball, and I see the ball come rolling my way. And I was like, here we go. This is my moment. The ball comes rolling. I put my glove down, and the ball kept rolling, but it rolled right through my legs, and it rolled all the way into the outfield. Well, I'm a teetotaler. I knew exactly what I needed to do. I stood up, ripped my glove off, threw it down, and I declared to the world, that's it. I lost the game. I thought that because of one play, the game was over. Aren't we lucky that our walk with God is not just one instance? We make one failure and that's it. We're done. We have no hope. We are so lucky that our walk with God has multiple stages of life. We have multiple opportunities. But just like baseball, we have to be careful. We don't know if it's going to rain and the game is going to be called early. We don't know when our time on this earth is going to come to an end. We cannot be pacifists. We cannot just think, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to take that next step. I understand now, Connor, you want me to take that step to grow my faith. And tomorrow I'm going to do it. I'm ready. Monday morning, I'm excited. I'm ready to go. We're not promised tomorrow. We don't know what the future holds. We may not even get to meet again as a church family here. We have to take action. But let's focus on you now. I gave you examples in the Bible. I gave you an example of how I'm a teetotaler. But now let's focus on you. You know, Les Brown, he's a motivational speaker. He's one that I like to listen to on many occasions. He likes to push people to be their best selves, to take life and take as much out of it as you can, to not settle. And Les Brown, one of his examples, is he said, picture yourself many years from now lying on your deathbed. And around you isn't your family, but it's ghosts. It's ghosts of people you could have become. And they look at you with a mixture of anger and sadness. And they look at you and they're telling you, you could have been that Bible class teacher. You could have been that VBS coordinator. You could have been that example to others. But instead, you looked around and you said, there's other people better suited to the task. I'm not good enough. You know, God gave you all the skills you needed to achieve in this life. He gave you the talents. But instead, you thought that you knew better, and you looked around and you said, someone else is better for the task. Well, Connor, you hit the nail on the head. You're exactly right. When I look around, there are better people for the task. There are people here that will be better Bible class teachers than me. There are people that would be better at VBS than me. You know, comparison is the thief of joy. If I compare my preaching abilities to Brother Dale and Brother Carlos, I'm going to be sorely disappointed. But if I compare myself and my own Christian walk to 5 years ago, to last year, to a month ago, I can get a more accurate understanding of how I'm doing, of whether or not I'm truly taking that step to become a better Christian, to grow my relationship with God. God never asked for perfection. He's asking for progress from you and from me. Well, let's go to the actionable step. Let's go to the step where we can actually, you can take the lesson and you can do something with it. I want you to think of one way that you can grow your faith, and I want you to act on it. Don't just think on it, act on it. But when you pick that one thing that you're going to do to take one more step to grow closer to God, I want you to be careful of three pitfalls that you can fall into. Number one, I'm going to do everything. You know, Connor, you don't realize that I need to be a better Christian in so many ways. I need to make sure that I attend service more often. I need to give more to the church. I need to be a better example to my family. I need to make sure that I help out with VBS more. I need to be a Bible class teacher. You don't understand how much I need to do to become a better Christian. I told you, I'm a teetotaler. I completely understand. When I look at the list of things that I need to do to become a better Christian, to enhance my relationship with God, it's daunting. But at no point has God asked us to be perfect. He's asking us to take steps to become better Christians all of our lives. Don't fall into the second trap of you're going to start tomorrow. You know what, Connor? I got it. I know exactly what I'm going to do, and I'm going to start tomorrow. Tomorrow is day one of me taking my step to become a better Christian. Well, you missed part of the lesson. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're taking that step. We're taking action today. We're not going to wait. And then number three, don't fall into the trap of I can't do it. Connor, I don't have the ability. I know it. I can't do it. You won't know if you don't try. And when you try, know that you will have the support of all the brothers and sisters here because we all are on our own journey, our own walk to grow closer to God. All three of these mindsets are dangerous, but I believe that we can have a plan in place that we can address all three at once. We need to make sure that we do not get paralysis of the analysis. I told you, pick one thing, that you can do to grow your faith with God. And it's very personal. I want you to think, what is that one thing that you're going to do? And I want you to make it so easy that it's almost laughable. Well, Connor, I picked it. I'm going to pray more. I love it. Praying is important. We're told to pray without ceasing. I want you to pray one more time in a day. If you pray before meals and you pray before bed, find one more time during the day to pray, to enhance your prayer life. Well, I was thinking about reading my Bible more. I love it. Let's read our Bible more. Let's do a chapter a day. Well, if you're like me, a chapter a day, it starts off really strong, but then you miss a day, and then all of a sudden you get discouraged and you stop. So instead of doing a chapter a day, maybe we just do a couple verses a day. Whatever that step is that you know, and you in your hearts should be thinking right now, I know what I'm going to do, what step I'm going to take to become a better Christian. Make it easy. Make it so that you can do this repeatedly. If you take this step, months from now, you're going to look back and you're going to realize I'm in a completely different spot than what I was. What we're going to do is we're going to continue to build these wins and we're going to get closer to God by taking steps. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You're not going to see immediate change one day to another. We all are at different steps in our journey. What is the next step for you? You know, don't put this off. Don't doubt your abilities. You need to take action. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, we started here at the start of the lesson. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? We need to be taking those steps of our faith. We need to be taking action. We need to not let life go by without seizing the opportunities that are given to us. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you need to take that step. You need to take that step to right your relationship with God. Take action. Take that step today. Maybe you're here and you need the prayers of the church. We're all here. We're all willing to support. We all want to help you take that step. If you are subject to the invitation in any way, we want to encourage you as we stand and as we sing.